Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
What's up? Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. I'm always glad that you are with me. Tonight, we're talking some off-season rankings. ESPN ranked the off-season performances of every team in the SEC. Ole Miss got a good grade from ESPN. A kind of a 30,000-foot view of what the program did this off-season. There's some good, there's some things that I think are accurate, and then there's some I think that are a little less accurate. So we'll go through that and then read your comments on this edition of the show. I am so glad that you guys are here. No midweek baseball. It is finals week, so Ole Miss is not having a midweek game tonight, so we're not having to wait on anything. I am curious if next week's game is going to happen. You are seeing cancellations all across the country with RPI bombs and the like. Regional projections came out today, as we talked about on Sunday. Not surprised at all that Ole Miss fell out of the hosting, on the wrong side of the hosting bubble, if you will. Now, it's obvious that if they take care of business over the next 2 weeks, like everybody has said, they'll host. But anything short of 16-14, I don't think that they will have enough to do so. So we'll talk more baseball probably on Thursday, depending on what happens between now and then. But right now, let's talk some football because it's May. It's football season, always football season. And I'm glad you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The month of April, again, guys, I'm truly blown away. I don't know what the hell I was doing last year, to be honest with you. Another massive growth month, April this year versus April last year. I'm not a math guy. I didn't do the math. It's almost a 100% growth rate from April last year to this year. So I don't know what happened or why you guys did that, but I'm very thankful that you did. And if you have not already, please subscribe so you can be part of that as well. Wherever you get your podcasts, also right here on YouTube, leave a like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate you doing that. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got everything you need under one gigantic roof. Also, I haven't mentioned yet their toy section. If you've got little ones like me, the outside toys, they got inside toys too, but stuff that you want to get your kid in the yard and getting dirty and digging in the dirt and in the sandbox and stuff like that, their selection of toys is also really outstanding. But the cheapest beer in town. They have a great fishing aisle. Obviously, anything for home improvement, for your yard, and most importantly, 0% on John Deere lawnmowers and tractors. 0%, 36 months on all commercial mowers, all from John Deere at Scruggs. If you want a Gator, it's 1.9% for 36 months. And again, 0%, 72 months on compact tractors and the big stuff, the Select 5 Series tractors. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. When you go to Scruggs, tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right. So ESPN, they did it for all 68 power conference teams, but I will look specifically at the SEC and Ole Miss. They ranked the offseason of the entire league. Sorry, my allergies are flaring up badly, so I'm going to have to mute and stuff like that so you guys don't hear it. Having a bad way right now. Also, speaking of that, because always when rain comes, it knocks all the stuff off the trees and gives me a little relief. A little bit more than rain coming tomorrow. Really we say at Super Talk, we call it weather aware. It's a little cheesy, but possibility of tornadoes coming through the state tomorrow. Chance that there is one of those outbreaks. Weather looks kind of nasty. Just be safe out there. Get in touch with your people. And make sure that they're not being reckless with the weather, because there's a chance that it gets nasty tomorrow. But anyway, ranking the offseason, they had Texas number one, LSU number two, Ole Miss, actually, they had number three, the best offseason in the SEC. Here is how they laid it out. Key additions, they had Keaton Thomas, the linebacker from Baylor, Jonathan Maldonado, the edge from Nevada, Luke Farelli, the linebacker from Cal, key departures, Prince Will to LSU, Dejon Stribling to the NFL, TJ Dottery to LSU as well. They list as one of the three key departures. I don't necessarily think that he is the third biggest loss from this team. I would have chosen a handful of guys ahead of him. I mean, certainly the offensive tackles, Daquan Wright. I think Trey Wallace is a bigger loss than Dottery, but that's what they put. And top incoming recruits, Demaryius Yates, Dorian Barney, and Jace Matthews. There's a chance Barney plays this year, although that's a really talented group in the back end of the secondary. But anyway, that's what they listed there. Here's what they wrote under biggest coaching move. Pete Golding retained several key assistants from Lane Kiffin's staff, including Joe Judge, defensive coordinator Brian Brown, his group, and they, you know, they put their titles next to it. I'm going to paraphrase some of this. His group of outside hires includes offensive coordinator John David Baker from ECU, veteran SEC assistants Marcus Woodson and Frank Wilson, and all that stuff. So they, again, they put their titles there. I do like this staff. Now, as we've talked about before, it is totally fine and acceptable to believe that this team has a chance to be really good, but to have just basic questions of, you know, what will the offense look like under John David Baker as opposed to Charlie Weiss Jr. / Kiffin? That's a fair question. What I've said to you before, and I'll say it again, it is much easier to believe that the offense will succeed because of where John David Baker actually came from. He obviously coached at Ole Miss before. Under Kiffin, there was overlap there with Golding. Like, there's familiarity. But more importantly, he went out, did it somewhere else under a defensive-minded head coach, and then came back. If Golding had just promoted John David Baker in the role that he had previously at Ole Miss, and he was still there and just promoted from within, I would be really concerned about the offense. And quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if guys may have made the decision to leave because you didn't have what John David Baker was able to come to the table with when he was talking to these players. I would assume anyway, I wasn't in the room, would be, hey, I left here. I took concepts from this offense, and here's the proof on film. When I was at East Carolina, we ran this, this, and this. And then, hey, I added my own flavor, and it looked like this, this, and this. And I did it all on my own, and I took lesser players and a lesser quarterback and a lesser running back and lesser wide receivers and put up crazy numbers in a similar offense without any help. Like, this was my show, and now I can do this for you too. That is a much easier sales job, and it's easier to buy into that knowing that he did go out and do it on his own. Just like there's always been questions about what is Charlie Weiss Jr. without Lane Kiffin, I think he did answer those questions and did a very good job of that. Always made me wonder why he hasn't tried to branch out on his own to get out from that shadow. But, I mean, the contract that LSU gave him, when you are forcing them to make you the highest paid coordinator no matter what, well, I mean, I guess that's your answer. But he went out and did it on his own. So it's a little bit easier to believe in the offense in that way. But Pete's staff is good. It's experience. You've got multiple former head coaches on it. The aforementioned Joe Judge, Frank Wilson's been a head coach. Marcus Woodson's been around forever. Even the support staff has former head coaches on it. It's a really, really solid staff with a nice blend of guys that have familiarity with Ole Miss and with him, and then guys that don't. One of the knocks on Hugh Freeze, and it was justified, was his inability to hire staff outside of the little bubble that he had. He wasn't able to make outside hires, or good ones anyway, didn't have that many coaching connections. I think this staff that Golding has put together is pretty clear that he's able to do that. But we'll see if they'll work out. They say, what went wrong? Ole Miss lost a lot of talent from a roster that came within a few plays of reaching the national title game last year. Sacks leader Umen Mielen and tackle machine Dottery. I'll read the whole thing before we get back to it. Breakout freshman receiver Winston Watkins and offensive lineman Devin Harper all followed Kiffin to LSU. With those moves, additional portal exits, and NFL draft departures, the Rebels are down 5 of their top 7 pass catchers from a year ago, including standout Stribling and Harrison Wallace. They also are missing 7 players who started 8-plus games on Golding's defense last fall. Baker has big shoes to fill, taking over for Charlie Weiss, who coordinated back-to-back top 10 offenses. All right, again, this is a 30,000-foot view. I've got a few qualms with this. Number one, with this line right here, with those moves, additional portal exits. What portal exits are you talking about? What player besides, I mean, I think Watkins would have had a role on this team, of course, and I think Harper would have had a role on this team too, but of the 4 guys that left for LSU, only 2 of them were starters, and one of them they very clearly were recruiting over and has one of the worst PFF grades in the SEC a season ago. And they upgraded at that position at linebacker. But who else did they lose in the portal that's impactful? So I think that's a little bit of just like a throwaway line that says something that's not accurate. Prince Will, good player. Just good player. Needed to be better, especially against the run in particular. And also finishing sacks. He was very explosive, was very disruptive. His, what was it, 9 sacks should have been like 17. So he's got to get a little bit better there. But really good player. If you gave me the choice, though, of Umen Mielen or Maldonado, Renaud, and Purchase, and maybe they would have been able to keep Prince Will and also get at least one of those, not all 3. But I'll take the 3 as opposed to the 1. But again, good player, not dismissing that. The Dottery piece of it, I think we've said this before, but everything you have heard out of Ole Miss during spring practice, during the offseason workouts, after they signed this portal class, is that they have rather dramatically upgraded the talent level at the linebacker position. That is one of the more confident things that I have said over the years doing this, quite frankly, is I think that Ole Miss has dramatically raised their talent ceiling, at least at linebacker, this season as opposed to last season. They did not have a good linebacker room. I'm not just picking on the one player. They didn't have a good room last season. They clearly have changed their investment, straight up financial investment in that room, and they have gotten much more capable players at that position. We already talk about Keaton Thomas all the time. Somebody described him to me as a football psycho, and they meant that complimentary. He's obsessed with it. He's obsessed with working out. Apparently, everybody around has just absolutely loved his introduction to the program and what he brings. You know about Luke Farelli already, but Hobson and Butler behind them also. And then, of course, Centarian Perkins now playing a more true linebacker role. I think it is abundantly clear that Ole Miss has done a lot of, I don't know if it's addition by subtraction. I don't know if that's the right explanation because it's addition by addition, but what they lost at linebacker is not impactful because of what they replaced those guys with in that room. Of all the position groups on that team, they have dramatically improved, like I said a second ago, at linebacker. And I think you are going to see that from week 1 and all season long. They're a lot better there. And so, yes, I know leading tackler gone somewhere else. That was more of a product of circumstance as opposed to high-level ability, if that makes sense. But overall, I get it. Finally, they say what went right. Trinidad Chambliss returns as one of the SEC's top quarterbacks following his February courtroom victory, and the Rebels added a potential successor in Deuce Knight. despite some high-profile departures, the Rebels were still broadly successful on the retention front. Kewon Lacy, Bryson Sanders, Will Echols, and Santarian Perkins are all back, and few programs retooled on defense more aggressively than the Rebels. Maldonado, who logged 5 sacks at Nevada last fall, is one of 5 defensive line additions. Ferrelli and Thomas joined Perkins to form one of the SEC's more formidable linebacker core. They did get that right. I'm glad that they framed that way, because if you're going to talk about the linebacker losses and you don't make that as part of your discussion, then you're just simply doing it wrong. Ole Miss also beefed up the secondary with Jay Crawford, Sharif Denson, Jonel Aguero, and Edwin Joseph. They clearly invested more defensively this year than they did last year. And it'll show. It'll show this fall. So, again, 30,000-foot view, I think that Ole Miss coming out after everything they went through with this being the offseason discussion is just, it's more, people are starting to kind of wake up to what this roster has. Now, there are questions. As I said a second ago, it's fair to have them. It is a coach that, while he handled the Kiffin departure admirably, it is now his program, and we will see. It is now his staff officially. We will see exactly what that turns out to be. But the fact that people are starting to move past the Kiffin thing and start looking at the team, the players, the experience, the staff, they're starting to like what they see, and Ole Miss is starting to get a little bit more recognition nationally, I believe. So we'll see if they can live up to that attention. The podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. Give them a call anywhere in Mississippi. Doesn't matter where you are. If you need auto, home, life, or business insurance, he will take care of you with his award-winning services at 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. And if you already have insurance, it's worth a phone call. What's 5 minutes going to hurt? It's not going to hurt you at all. And at least I don't think it will. So give him a call. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500. Don't forget to tell him that it was me that sent you to him. Also, Priority One Bank, 16 locations in Mississippi. They make you their priority every day. Local loan servicing and decision-making, a great online banking platform. It is just everything that you need out of your bank. That's why they call themselves Priority One Bank. Switch and bank with me there. And also Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. ABSMS.com is the website. All right, to the comments we go. Been so busy, it's the first time I've caught you live in a week. Well, good to see you, man. Good to see you. Ole Miss needs to get the midweek canceled next week. Yeah, let's look at the weather, see if they can find a built-in excuse for it does not appear that at the moment there will be a built-in excuse opportunity for Ole Miss. But everybody else is doing it just for the hell of it. So if everybody else is doing it, depending on how this weekend goes, might not be the worst idea. Was listening to Neil and Chase talk about it more, and they're basically right. The current situation kind of shows you how they need talented bodies on the offensive line, particularly at tackle. Yes. Neil and Chase, big fans of theirs, of course, as I've told you guys before. The offensive tackle position is the one. I'm very confident in the ceiling at every spot on the field, except for that one. It doesn't mean that they can't be good. The interior three returning really helps a ton because they should be good there. Also, as we've mentioned, they got a running back that's good in pass protection, a quarterback that is elusive and also savvy, gets the ball out quick so they can alleviate some of the issues there. But yeah, there's not a lot of experience. And there's question marks in a lot of them. Can they be good? They certainly can. But, I mean, and you heard my interview with Bryson Sanders. He likes Terese Davis in particular. That was before they added Kinsler, if I remember that correctly. I think the timing of that works out. But he really likes Terese Davis. I mean, apparently they have full faith in his ability to step right in and take one of those spots and it be a non-issue, but he's got to go do it. And with Kern, you know, he's battled injury and stuff, but he's clearly needs to make better decisions, you know, and his talent is evident, but he's not anywhere close to his ceiling right now. So that is the position. That is the position that you should have the most questions about. Don't know about you, but I expect Arch Manning to be preseason first team and Trinidad second. I do. I agree with you. I think if you go beyond the playoff run and judge Pete's staff in high school plus portal class, it's hovering around an A to me. I mean, I would give the offseason, quite frankly, truly an A+. You're not going to be able to sign the best players at every single position anymore. Even with the transfer portal, there are going to be holes somewhere on a roster. Kirby Smart, I played that clip for you. Even he admits it, that there you're going to have roster holes somewhere. It's going to happen. Even the best programs in the country. There is not one thing that I can think of that has happened this offseason. The three arrests, that's dumb, right? But college kids are dumb, and college football teams, you've got, you know, 18 to 22-year-old guys that, you know, they've been told they're the greatest thing since sliced bread at every level their entire life, and they do dumb things. I've got good friends that also got arrested in college, and they turned out to be just fine. So it's not just a football problem, but that's not ideal. That's something that you want to see stop. That's for sure. But other than that, man, considering the circumstances, if you're grading it on a curve, I guess it's an A+. There's not one thing that I can think of that Pete Golding did this offseason, and I thought, it's not good. Don't like that. Don't see this as a Joe Moorhead, Zach Arnett situation, as many would hope it will be. Many hope. That it will be. Yes, I did get the hockey coach info. Thank you, Jody. Really appreciate you. Maybe a question for another podcast, but of the teams on Ole Miss's schedule, who would you rank this roster compared to in their SEC opponents? Also, the quarterback position, most notably. I mean, Georgia's the easy answer. Georgia and Texas are the easiest, most obvious answers. LSU also is very talented. That they are. We'll see if they can put it together. We'll see if Sam Leavitt can be better than he has been his entire career in a short time. But they're talented. It's those three. Oklahoma has a chance to be a really difficult game for Ole Miss, too. But, you can't spend an offseason like we have talking about player retention and portal class and then turn around and say that they don't have a roster that is comparable with those two. They do. Those are the teams that are most notably comparable to Ole Miss from a roster perspective and experience perspective on the schedule. They are in that tier. They should be anyway, and if they're not, there's a problem. What's your thoughts on the quote from Trinidad about how he seriously considered LSU? The LSU fans on social media had a field day with that one. Well, it's because they're dumb. Of course he considered it. They all did. I mean, if somebody's going to make you a job offer, you're going to listen, aren't you? I mean, to make that even a thing that is celebratory is bizarre. But again, what I've learned with the discourse around that is, here, hold on, I'll find it. There's a political meme. And I'm going to change one word to make it apply here. It's amazing how much LSU discourse is just them pretending not to understand things, thus making discourse impossible. That's what it is. Yeah, all of them. All of the good players on Ole Miss's roster had a chance to go to LSU if they wanted. All the good ones anyway. And, of course, maybe not all of them, maybe not 100%, because there's one that we've made reference to earlier that would not have gone to LSU for anything, no matter what. But yeah, I mean, if I were their agents and their parents, I would advise them to listen anyway, regardless of how Lane handled the exit. If somebody's going to offer you an insane amount of money, you do have to hear the sales pitch out. Yeah, of course he considered LSU. That was his coach and his offensive coordinator. The fact that he and Kiwan and Deuce in particular, those three guys, and even if you want to argue that Trinidad couldn't go and he was stuck because of the court thing, okay, we'll explain the other two. The fact that they considered it and stuck around is good. I kind of liken it to the overrated chant. Like, why do fans do the overrated chant? You're diminishing your own accomplishment. Like, you won the game, and you're sitting here saying, our win isn't good. You know what I mean? It's like that here. If people, and there's not that many, but a very small percentage of fans, I mean, I even got texted about on the radio show that were like, that's crazy. He never considered it. He never would have gone. And I mean, I think it's better that they all got offered the opportunity. Look at it that way. They got offered the opportunity to transfer and a lot of money, and they said no. That to me is better than not getting offered at all and not considering it at all. Because they heard him out and was like, yeah, no, I'm good, as opposed to never hearing them out at all. Maybe that's just spin zone. I don't know. Good to see you, man. Hope you're having a great night, too. Appreciate you being here. If they can get semi-close to the 2024 defense, really could be dangerous. I don't want to go there yet. I think that would be very off-season-y, is to compare them to what was arguably, anyway, the best defense in college football that year. But they do believe that there is more talent on the field defensively than there was a season ago. Every day they get closer and closer to the absolute chaos that will be week three. Yeah. Apparently, per Matt Moscona, William Eccles was on his way to LSU as well. Well, I did not see him say that or what he said or the context of what he said. So I'm not, you know, I'm not going to respond to something I did not see myself. Just for context purposes and stuff. And, you know, I don't want to dive into weeds like that, especially if I'm not hearing them correctly. But Will Eccles was offered a lot of money at the final hour. And again, another thing where, you know, I'm sure the phone was picked up, but does it really matter at the end of the day? What I can't figure out is where the Kiwan was definitely going until they beat Georgia. Now, because that gets sent into my mentions all the time. And like, I would love to sit down and talk to the actual media person. Not the burners or whatever, but I mean like a real media person that started that. Because logically, that makes absolutely no sense. Zero sense. Kiwan was definitely going. Agreed to leave. He was going, and then they beat Georgia, and so LSU couldn't wait. That makes no sense. Couldn't wait for what? If you know he's going, guaranteed, without a doubt, it is signed, sealed, delivered, it's over, he's leaving, and he's going, then what can't you wait for? If you know it's done, you can wait for however long you need to. Every program in the country would have waited for however long Kiwan needed to decide whether or not to take him. Every program in the country. Logically, those two things don't make any sense. Those are mutually exclusive things. If it is done, over, signed, sealed, delivered, he is leaving no matter what. It doesn't matter if they beat Georgia or not. He's leaving. And you will wait however long you need. But here's the fault in the logic, because it wasn't done or signed, sealed, and delivered and over. It was never that. And so that's the truth, is that I'm sure he was considering it. I'm sure that they thought they had him. Yeah, I mean, you hear the leaked phone call that somebody recorded for some reason where Lane was saying that they had Kiwan going with him. But it wasn't done. And until it's done, it's not done. And so speaking in absolutes about something that didn't happen is just, It's void of logic and reason. And so when people even talk about that, it demonstrates a lack of intellect is what it does. Because those are mutually exclusive things. It was done over, but they also couldn't wait. That makes no sense. Wait for what? Spring practice? Don't even engage in that discourse anymore. I've done it. I tried to do it honestly. It makes absolutely no sense at all. None. None. So there you go. Now, you've said in the past that you wish the LSU game was during the day, but I kind of disagree. Know that if I had to travel to Baton Rouge, it would 1,000% be at night. I don't know. I don't think I wish it would be during the day. I think that that might be ideal from a security and control perspective, because, I mean, you guys saw it. One clown decided to get what looks like way too drunk and start fights in a student section for a baseball game in April. What do you think that's going to look and feel like for the football game in September? I think it would just be easier to control the agitators during the day, because there are going to be people, 99.999% of people in Oxford that day, it's just going to be a football game. They're going to go to the Grove. They're going to have fun. They're going to drink. They're going to go to the game. They're going to scream and yell like hell, and they're going to go home. And then there's going to be groups of people that will come into town that don't even care about the football game, really. They don't really care about it. They're going to come into town looking to start stuff. And that happens basically every weekend anyway. You got people coming to town just kind of looking for whatever, right? That weekend is going to be magnified 10 times over. People are going to drive in. They won't even have a place to stay there. They won't have a ticket to the game. They don't care. They're just going to go looking to start stuff so they can record it and post it on TikTok. That is going to happen. And you hope that there's going to be a volume of police and security that will stop those kind of losers from doing that sort of thing. It just might be easier to police that during the day, because what I don't want to happen, full transparency, is that game to become about what happened in Knoxville in 21. Tennessee fans embarrassed themselves that day, and I just hope that that doesn't become the story for this game too. People throwing stuff on the field. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what one person wants. Because then you can walk off the field and point and say, see, I was right. See? It's the last thing you want. And so that kind of stuff is easier to control during the day. I mean, I don't know how far they need to take it. I think that it would be ideal, probably a logistical nightmare, but like not serve anything in bottles, for example. Like no bottles in the stadium that day. Everything's in cups. Bottles, when you fill them up, you can throw them a long way. Cups, you really can't. I mean, not that far, you know, stuff like that. Curious on your position with this LSU game. I think Ole Miss is going to take care of them and win it, although close. I think it will be complete. I think it will completely overwhelm Lane like the Bama games did or LSU in 24. Yeah, emotional. I'm curious about the emotional component, you know, of that. If I were an LSU fan, I'd just be concerned at how early the game is on the schedule. That's a team with a lot of new faces. Leavitt, you know, is running around again, and he's got all summer to get ready. But again, I don't know how good he is anyway. It's very early for them. I'd be concerned about that. Most curious things with this mostly newer offensive staff is the decision-making in-game, not being as hyper-aggressive, increased field goals in the playoffs was cool with me. That's what won the Georgia game. You have a world-class kicker. You know you have a world-class kicker. Let him kick the football. Those two decisions were the difference in winning and losing the Georgia game. Imagine if neither of those drives ended in points. You go for it on fourth down, you don't get it. you get blown out that day. And yes, less aggression or stupidity. The Oklahoma game gets put away with ease, but they just let them right back in by being a little reckless. If you could have a drink with Pete, would it be a Busch Light or something fancy? Not fancy. He doesn't strike me as a fancy type. With Duke cutting a deal with Prime, I'll ask this, how much longer will it be until we see SEC games on Prime and Netflix? The only way that happens is if the ESPN television deal with the SEC gets blown up. That's it. So, I mean, that's a long ways away from an SEC perspective, unless they start subleasing their games, which I guess is possible. I wanted to ask you more about Sam Leavitt, even though this is meant to be focused on Ole Miss. Kiffin is good with quarterbacks, but the Leavitt situation rubs me the wrong way. He was clearly not their first option for a reason, I think. Also coming off of an injury. He is not the most talented quarterback on their roster. And, I mean, maybe I'm cynical. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't end the season as the starter. Now that I said that, he's going to win the Heisman. But, I think that next year, the quarterback situation there will be much better than this year, I think. And again, he's good with quarterbacks. The system is QB-friendly. He's got some talent. I've just seen a whole lot of bad. And it's not like Dillingham's bad with quarterbacks either. I mean, let's not act like he's leaving a Hugh Freeze-coached offense and going there. I mean, he's been in a good system with a good play caller and a good developer, and it just hasn't been super great. I think the discourse of the fan bases and Lane himself would be like if the same situation happened and he left for Florida instead. Would it be the same? Not the same. It would not be the same. A little more distance, a little less intensity in the rivalry. I think Florida's media is a little bit different too. But he would be nonstop trolling and stuff and doing all that. Yeah, absolutely. Florida would be just different too. So would Florida State have been just different. Whatever job it would have been just different. You know, got to play the hits, though. That's what the fans want to hear is the hits, right? That's why they go to an Eagles concert. They want to hear Hotel California, not whatever new music they're working on that nobody's ever heard. So play the hits. It does work. Never forget the 23 Clemson Florida State game. Cade Klubnik in the red zone could give his team a chance. And turnover on downs, game over. Florida State won. No hate on him, though. Hope he does good in the NFL. Clemson's got a quarterback development issue. They do. Then would him missing the playoffs at a 9-3 record and leaving for Florida change anything? It would be a little less toxic depending on what those three losses were, yeah. If Austin Simmons never gets hurt, they go 8-4 and it's a pretty clean breakup. But I don't remember if Florida State and Ohio State both had offers to Jackson Dart. I know Florida State tried to get him multiple times. I don't know about Ohio State, though. They also got paid a lot of money to stay. Yes, LSU fan Shane. Of course they did. But you're telling me that LSU would not have paid whatever it took to get Kiwan if they could have? I mean, come on. Yes, of course they got paid to stay. But they chose to stay. I mean, LSU just dropped, what, $40 to $50 million? Maybe 50s on the high end, on their roster. I mean, look at the money that they were throwing around to get players. You think suddenly they just, I don't want Kiwan Lacy after all. Ah, he's getting paid. No, I got a budget. No, there ain't no budget. Well, there was a budget, but not when it came to having to try to get players like that. genuinely think the majority of big media people in college football don't get the full grasp of what this 2026 Ole Miss team is going to be. You're starting to see a wake up, though. I saw an interview, like Andy, a clip, not an, I didn't watch the interview, but a clip of Andy Staples, like, hey, you know, this guy's pretty awesome. Draft analyst on Trinidad, same thing. He's like, I have him ahead of Sorsby. I had him, have him ahead of a lot of these guys. People are starting to wake up a little bit. It's going to be violent on September 19th, and doesn't help that there are certain agitators online to drive this. Yeah, I mean, it would really help if certain people would try to bring the temperature down, although I guess people wouldn't totally listen, but I hope not. And that's what I was getting at earlier, is there are going to be people in town that are going to just try to start fights. And I hope that the police and the security are able to swiftly deal with that and make sure that those people are not around for very long. You know what I mean? Because they're going to try. Opinion about the media that covers college football is that they don't do any research. They pick the brands they know, write stories about them in the offseason, and act surprised when they end up wrong. Well, you see that with the playoff discourse, the expansion discourse. I like Josh Pegg a lot. I just think he's so off on the playoff conversation, not from the 12 to 24. He's spot on there, but the college football is actually better in the BCS era. Yeah, if you were a fan of three programs, sure. Yeah, of course it was. Not for everybody else. You just gaslit everybody else into thinking that the Music City Bowl was an accomplishment, and it was not. It felt like one because you were convinced that it was, because winning a title was so out of your grasp because the system didn't allow you to. Now it does. Was at the Tennessee game in 21. Someone sitting in front of me got nailed with a beer bottle. It was so embarrassing. See, that's the kind of stuff that you can't let happen. Can't let that happen. I feel like in most alternate universes, John Summerall is the Ole Miss coach. There was a chance that it was. You say, glad it's not Golesh. Could you imagine? He may end up being great. I don't know. It's just, and you don't have to be a salesman. You know, you don't have to win the press conference to win games. He would not inspire confidence out of me if I were an. I would not be super confident in the direction of my program after hearing some things. And I don't think in year one they're talented enough anyway. Alpha Shane with the super chat. Thank you, Shane. Really appreciate you, man. Very kind of you. Can honestly say that Shane's an LSU fan, for those of you actually listening and not watching here. Can honestly say, glad we didn't get our first portal quarterback choice. Levitt has questions, but still looking better than Sorsby. Yeah. we talked about that on the radio show. Because we do have LSU fans that listen to the radio show. We got 12 stations, one obviously on the coast that covers the entire coast. A lot of LSU fans on the coast. And I was like, you guys, I mean, be lucky, because Sorsby was everybody's first choice. At least it felt like it. And he's not going to be playing football for anybody in 2026. It's a sad deal. It's a really sad deal, but he's, yeah. As of now, what SEC football programs do you think are in the wilderness, as in a mostly losing product that doesn't have a lot of momentum for the time being? Arkansas. Arkansas is, that answer is easy, Arkansas. At least Mississippi State's got Kamario Taylor, you know, and they got some weapons offensively. State would be the next answer. Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina. Although, I mean, they've got a high ceiling, but a very low floor this year. But I mean, it's Arkansas. Three SEC football coaches that will be terminated by the end of the 26 season. Terminated, you say? Not that many options. Shane Beamer Shane Beamer will be terminated, I think. Kalen DeBoer just got a new contract. He's out. Drinkwitz is not getting fired. He's out. Auburn, Arkansas, new coaches. Lebby certainly can. I mean, he's on the hot seat. There's not that many options, though. A lot of coaches that are either new or with new contracts. I mean, it's Beamer, Lebby. Those are the two. So, anyway. All right, guys. I can't stop, like, sneezing and sniffling, so I'm going to I'm gonna get out of here so I stop sniffing into the microphone. Hopefully, you guys didn't hear any of those. Forgive me if you did. I'm trying my hardest to have good mic discipline, but it's already almost 10 o'clock, so forgive me if I have not delivered on that. But I really appreciate you guys being here. Heupel, that's another interesting one. Sark at Texas, if they're bad, I just don't think they'll be bad. But, yeah. Definitely those two first before you start getting into Sark and Heupel. But anyway, good stuff, guys. Really appreciate you being here, as always. And I'll talk to you again on Thursday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.